Let's sing together. Our Father, name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive revelation of your word. Our hearts are on fire by faith in the Holy Ghost to receive your word as it is in the scriptures. Together as a church, we will Jesus Christ your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified and we are edified. Amen. Okay, now Matthew 28, I need you to be very, very, very alert. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came, we're looking at in the Spirit by the Spirit. Have we named it finally? The power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's what power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, or make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. I'm just going to go to Mark 16:20 and come back here. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. Verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now 20. They went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord walking. Have we looked at that word walking? So, not this series. I think that's Sunday, right? Working sonegos, sonegio, with and confirming the word of science following. I taught it on Sunday, amen. So I taught it on Sunday, but I'll just go by it. It simply means to be walking towards the same goal in the same way. And we looked at that word, both in the verb, adjective, and all that. So it means he's walking with the word. But I don't want to focus on that word now. Let's go back to that Matthew 28. Making disciples. Matthew, M-A-T-H-E-T-U-O, Matthew, which means to be instructed to become, to be instructed to become. Now, let's look at that word used in Matthew's gospel. Matthew 13, alright, 52. Every scribe that is instructed, a scribe there is like a scholar. So a scribe is instructed. That means he is retrained. So the first thing about it is that making disciples means to retrain. To retrain people in their belief system. To retrain them in the things that they have been doing before. So a scribe is retrained. Second time, Matthew 27, 57. There came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who himself was a disciple. A rich man. So we have a record of somebody who is wealthy. Again, in verse 43 of Mark 15, he's called an honorable counselor who waits for the kingdom of God. Honorable counselor. So he is also retrained. A rich guy, but retrained. Look at the disciples. Discipleship will include those people who, in their status, they ought to know, but he doesn't know. He's retrained. Then we also have the rich, who are wealthy, but their money cannot buy knowledge. And he is also retrained, and is also called a counselor, honorable counselor. Luke has another commentary about him. Luke 23. And verse 50. A good man, a just man. Okay, a just man who was equally a guy who, I mean, has his own reputation in the city. He's equally retrained. Who else do we have? We have fishermen, tax collector Matthew, fishermen, Peter, James, and John. Matthew, the tax collector. We have women. Luke's Gospel 10. Mary, verse 39, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Sit at his feet means She's being trained by Jesus. Acts 22 verse 3. That's what it means to sit at his feet, to be trained. Then we now have Acts 22:3. Then you have women. Then Acts 14:21 now says they taught many. That's the word multitude. So which means that nobody is exempted. No outcast. Whether they are rich, whether they are poor, whether they are fishermen, whatever profession, want to retrain people in the culture of God's kingdom. Or God's word, or the gospel. So in Acts 14:21, it says they taught many, which means that everything we had read before, you know, all that is now found in the church. So we train people, we teach them. How? It says in verse 20, teaching them didasco, to instruct, to re-educate. Now I want us to focus on something there, which we must have explored the word for a while now, the word didache, D-I-D-A-C-H-E, which is a body, a system of truth, or the way it is said, didache. Jesus warned his own disciples, Matthew 16:12, of the didache of the Pharisees, the mode of teaching. In Matthew 7:28-29, they were also astonished at his mode of teaching, his system. So I want us to take note of something. Astonished at his system. Same as Mark 1:22. Mark 1:22, that's just a double reference. At his didache. Then Luke 4, I think, 32, yeah. Luke 4:32. At his doctrine, it was with power. So he had authority. Now, we have to now pay attention to his system of truth. Of course, we have the Genesis, the prophets, Moses and the prophets, system of truth. One other thing that is very strong is the emphasis, the personality emphasis of God in the system of truth. The first thing in Jesus' system of truth is that he taught God as Father. He taught God as Father. John 20:17, where he says, go and meet my brother, and say to them, I go to my Father and your Father. And if you look at his teaching in Matthew 5, verse 17 or 16, let your light so shine that before men that they may glorify your Father. Matthew 5:16, your Father which is in heaven. Then you have Matthew 5:45, that you may be the children of your Father. Matthew 5:48, as your Father which in heaven is perfect. Matthew 6:4, thy Father which seeth thee in secret himself. Matthew 6:6, pray to your Father. Matthew 6:8, your Father knows. Matthew 6:9, our Father which art in heaven. Matthew 6:14-15, because he forgives, you also forgive. Matthew 6:32, your Father knows you have need of these things. So you have that strong system of truth in the teaching of Jesus. In John 14, you have it also very strong. John 14, where he taught, in my Father's house there are many mansions, verse 2. And then, I and my Father will come and make our home with you. John 14, verse 23. John 14:20, the day you know I'm in my Father, I'm in you and you are in me. So, there is a system of truth where the Father is emphasized. And go through the epistles, the opening statements of Paul, opening statements of Peter and John, you see that Father fact. So, which means that the Father fact is part of the didache. Then Acts of the Apostles, again, pay attention. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 4. Wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. Acts 1:4. Notice that when Peter was going to teach, he said, Acts 2:33, have been received of the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:4, Acts 2:33, the promise of the Father. So that is the apostles' doctrine, the Father. Then, in that system of truth, we have the Son, or Christ, the Son. Luke 24, 27, he expounded to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Luke 24, 27. Luke 24, 45. He opened it, they understand that they might understand the scriptures. And then 46, thus is written, behold Christ indeed to suffer and be raised from the dead. Christ to suffer and be raised from the dead. Now look at John. John, I'm doing a very short crash course for you. John 21:31. These were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John 20:31. Which is that affirmation of Peter in Matthew 16 and verse 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So that's a strong emphasis. Now look at something again in Acts 8. Remember that encounter that the Enoch had with Philip? At verse 35. Beginning at that same scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. Now, there's something Luke is doing to us here. In Acts 8:5, he went to Samaria, he preached Christ. Acts 8:35, he preached unto him Jesus. Now look at Acts 8:37. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He preached Christ, Acts 8:5, preached Jesus, Acts 8:35, and Acts 8:39, is it 37, sorry. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So follow that system of truth. The Father, the Christ, the Son of God. Then also in the Didache, we have the Spirit. The Spirit. In John 14, I pray the Father, he will give you another comforter, verse 16, even the Spirit of truth. John 14, 16 and 17. John 14, 26, the Spirit. John 15, 26, again, the Spirit that proceeds from the Father. John 16, verse 7 and 8. The Spirit will guide you into all of the truth. But look at Luke 24 and 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father. I send the promise of my Father. Acts 1:5. In not many days ends, the same writer Luke, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. I, the promise of my Father, the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:5, or technically speaking, the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So, which means that in understanding how the emphasis of scripture, you have the personality emphasis of the Father, then the Son, then the Spirit. Christ the Son, and then the Spirit. So, in discipleship, I must have a precise understanding of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Which is why I tell a lot of my Reformed friends, who, I tell you, well, we are all charismatic. It's just how charismatic we are that differs. I mean, even though the word spirit means something that is moving and active, for you it's a past tense. Or you don't get it. Or it's, we have the Holy Ghost, but it's just to show that we are saved. I have life, but it's not to breathe. Because the word ruach, and then the word pneuma means active living things. But I have life, but it's not for breathing. It's just to know that I'm alive. So when you say you have the Holy Ghost, then we say, alright, what does the Holy Ghost influence? They say, well, it's just good character. I don't offend brethren, and all that. So that means, okay, the Holy Ghost can. Well, what about in speaking and in seeing? No. That's the seal. The seal has made sure that that doesn't happen again. How come that, I told a fellow, was it last year, I said, if you say that the gifts of the Spirit are passed on, because you have a phobia for spirit, or spirits generally, why didn't the character of the Spirit also pass, the fruit? So that one is salvation. I love those guys. So the point is that there is that fact of what we learn, which means that in discipleship, if I'm teaching the system of truth of Christ, those who are learning Christ from me must understand the truth from the Father, right? In the Son and by the Spirit. From the Father, in the Son, and by the Spirit. From the Father, in the Son, and by the Spirit. Now, so there's now something that is key here. And that's, I just keep that in my notes. And it's the word make disciples. I checked that word to instruct. It involves, in discipleship, it involves instruction and practice. So put two words in teaching, and I want you to apply that too in your ministry. There is to teach and there is to catch. To catch. We used to say, use that phrase back then. Was that when you see a guy around us? What we're saying was that, well, he's around, he's saying, but he hasn't caught it. So we should say that one of the things that you know that somebody has caught, if he has caught, when he first hears the word, there's something about just going around and hacking everybody. That means you have caught it. It has to happen. There's this immature anger that it's of God. The law of permissive graciousness for the saint of God. Where God is looking, you just, you don't know anything. But you just hear the word and then you're just saying, let's just walk in love. You must, what are you? So there's something about catching. You learn, right? So, which means in discipleship, you must have things that people have to also see. That they will, and that catching is in, it's in interactions. I want you to follow this very well. Interactions. So there's a mode of teaching. That mode of teaching must have, and we're going to see it, how Jesus taught it. You know, when he explained to them the Father and the Son, who is the Christ, it was in a teaching meeting. But there was one that did not involve teaching meeting. We're going to see it now. Are you following? That one didn't involve teaching meeting. So there is what you will hear, and there's also what you will have to see. And you'll catch it. So you have people like, you have things like from folks in the faith movement, which I subscribe to, I belong to actually. And they say that the spirit of faith, that the word of faith is taught. Now, I don't say this, don't quote me. I'm just saying that I look at the intention of that statement. The word of faith is taught, the spirit of faith is caught. You find somebody, for example, who knows a lot of scriptures, but then when it comes to believing God for something, he goes, he can't even use Bible to explain away his unbelief. That, sometimes, we look at it that really there's the natural and the supernatural combined together and they make it, and God, get healed. I know, but I'm just saying that there's this place of the natural and supernatural. And as you say natural and supernatural, he's filling his life with drugs and saying natural and supernatural. It's just natural, it's commanded natural. And when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter, he says, give her food. If you don't give her food, she'll die. Okay, raise Jairus' daughter first. Before you say, guy is just spinning away. But there'll be a guy who probably knows very little, but as he hears, I am the Lord that he led thee, he says, I know I'm healed. And then the guy, he has seen it in the word, he has seen men, he has heard it before, he has experienced it before, so he knows, I know. So that one has caught it. Oftentimes he may not be able to explain it well. That's how, how many of you had a series on tongues, where you spoke in tongues? I would say it's glossolalia. Actually, the word, if you look at the way where Paul built the scripture from, it is now being able to deepen your persuasion that you are learning that. But the first thing is that we speak in tongues, Satan is confused, deliverance is at hand. You caught it. And every time you just go, so you caught something, but you are not taught. But some people, they are taught and they refuse to catch. That's why you see a guy, he can do an exegesis on tongues. Eventually, he will land in saying that it is human language, it is fast. God bless you. You get it. So, you have that. So, both in discipleship, both have to be done. Some guys, I remember something Reverend John said years ago. He said, if you are really serious about prayer, you don't need 3-day seminar. That when you hear prayer, by 30 minutes, you start praying. That way, you are still doing prayer. Prayer is the word. Dekomai, and you say, Jesus, okay, and you say, wow, from deep depths on the teaching of prayer, and you say, amen. It's good to pray, oh. I know somebody else enters a prayer meeting and just sees people sweating and say, I want to pray. See, he caught it. But sometimes even that your knowledge of you to pray, just get there and say, are they praying the will of God? They pray according to the scriptures. Open your mouth and pray, yo. Silly guy. So there are things to catch. Okay? And so we must know that the things of the spirit are tangibles that can be, if you don't catch it, it will be obvious. They are tangibles. When, for example, hands were laid on me, 1994, and hands were laid on me to begin to teach. Now, I'm not a teacher. I've never become one. But I'm a pastor. So, when hands were laid on me, it wasn't like, I didn't have any information about the ministry gift like I do today. But the point was, I caught something. I knew I did. When Tunji laid hands on me years ago and he said from now that he saw me minister the word of God, and I said from now I believe you're going to see things in the spirit. I was flat on the floor. It was my friend though. But party for junk when it comes to things in the spirit. I was down for 6 hours or about 7. And I was in trance. So I said from that day I said, wow, I began to see things more. I caught something. Why? That evening it was a Friday evening. I fasted. So I was going to catch. So I fasted. So as he was ministering, because my friend, he could see into heaven. So I said, I desire this. Amen. I desire this. The first thing like that, he's not even as tall as I am. How is he seeing this face? You know, those are very stupid things. And he was my friend, he's my friend, so I knew, that he could, you can you just read the whole thing and you just get lost. But I just saw it, I can catch this thing now. So the first thing he said he's going to show me a sign. I used to use one big glasses. So he removed it. And he didn't keep it though. That's how he just crushed it on you. Boom! He says, so begin to see. Obviously. You're taking my glasses. If I don't see, what's going to happen? So he laid hands. He said, you won't just see this guy, you begin to see in the spirit. Well, my friend though, it's not like my friend. But at that point, I had to catch. You get it? So that was it. So there's a, I've never told this story before. This is my first time. So there's a way you have to catch. But sitting down and just sitting, and teaching me. Now, over the years, when I've now taught, oh, okay, seeing and knowing, religion gives, it now makes me effective. But that's not the catching. Do you understand? Not at all. It now makes you effective. It's like, this is a very terrible example, but I think it's fine. There's one guy like that, he's an Arsenal player. The guy is very passionate about Arsenal, but he doesn't know how to play football. I don't want to mention it there. I don't want to. Very passionate. You could. His towel is Arsenal. His shirt. His house is painted. There was a video I saw. He was alone with the ball and he fell down. He dribbled himself and fell down. And, you know, he had the passion. But the truth is that he had a good coach. The good coach did everything, you know, and all that. But the thing is, you don't have it. So when you know the word later, it's because you caught something. And then it becomes more effective. So you become like, okay, you just say, yeah. The Hebrew word for spirit is ruach. Oh, glory. That is the spirit in all the earth. Speak in tongues. Interpret all the earth. Okay. you haven't caught anything. So which means that, and that's why I tell people that there's something. I try to tell people who try to, when it comes to think of his spirit, I say, well, I know that you can listen to my teachings and hear the series and all that, which is, it makes you effective, but it's all about you being there. I remember when, Pastor Lan came to me years ago, he was a student then. So he said he was really confused, he wanted the supernatural, himself and his friend of his. I said, you know what? I said, come, let me come and preach. Right? I said, let me come and pray. I said, I will give you the, that's what I said. I said, I will give you the Holy Ghost like this. That's what I told him. I said, just do a 3-day meeting. That's how we learned it. That is not, I could have said, go and listen to this. Mm-mm. I said, let me come. When I come, you won't need to ask this question again. Amen. So it's, there are some things they are caught. Some things are taught. Some things are caught. But when it comes to discipleship, you must teach, then it also must be what? Caught. And I'm saying this for some of us who are, for example, starting a cell, and it's so beautiful because if you are like 5'10 or more, it's a beauty where that can happen. It's a beauty where it can be taught and caught. If you're a pastor, if there's any way you can train yourself religion gifts the most, is when the ministry, the church still has, I hate to use this number, but I'm trying to say the right thing and not say the wrong thing. She has maybe fewer in number. It becomes very effective. You get really trained. You get really, you, of course, at that point also, all your hit and miss can be covered. Shouldn't die. You know, so you're able to, also in the place of prayer, you know, because you don't have 200 people you are praying for, maybe 10. You know, you can pick things very easily and be more precise. So use that period well. And often I know this well, that in those days, if you don't misuse those moments, it becomes effective even when the numbers begin to increase. Amen. So I often tell people that thing you call boredom, that is where it is. Okay, where did some of us catch the doggedness people are looking at? I'm not dogged, I'm just trying, but the doggedness is in those moments. So you are not just hearing it, you get it? You have now caught it. Where you will walk, you know, you walk to fellowship and you know that you are just three that is going to be there and you are happy. You walk to fellowship and you are praying like you are praying for 1 million people. And you get there, I mean, and there are discouragements. Discouragement, one just came to me and said, look, that if it's fellowship you want to do, sir, do. This one is Bible school. A new convert. This one is Bible school. And the way it happened, the person who brought the fellow, well, where I asked to go and follow up,
said, Asan, he has something to tell you. That means that in his own mind, he just could not say it. That he has something to tell you. I said, ah. You know, it's at those moments that you will now catch patience. You have heard it all. Now it's time to catch it. So you must know how to. Some things are taught. Some things are caught. When it comes to things like the spirit of doggedness, when it comes to ministry, somebody was telling me something about one of our pastors. Said, ah, how did this person know what to do? I said, ah, after many years, he must have caught something now. So anywhere you get to, you know, that is the DNA in ministry. That's the DNA. It's not you're able to say context Christian. That's there. You're able to explain what pastor said. It's good. That's part of it. But there's the DNA that you caught anywhere you are. You should know what to do. Because you have caught it. We're going to see that, you know, a bit later. Hope you are learning something. So you look at something that, and it's you look at it progressively. Look at Acts of the Apostles. Look at how Ananias interacted with Christ. Acts 9. That should be verse 11 and 12. And 13. Look at how he did it. And you know what he was called? A certain disciple. That means he caught it. Do you get it? He caught it. So if you are able to, in meetings, in training meetings, in workers' meetings, you caught it. You know how to yield to the Spirit. You know how to yield to the Spirit. Sometimes it's by paying good attention. Sometimes just listening well. Listening well. Paying good attention. So you have Ananias. Look at Stephen too. Ha! They just chose him as an, of course, he was full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. Acts 6:3. They just chose him, you know, as a servant in the house. And then he's full of miracles and full of the Holy Ghost. He knew what to. By Acts 7:55, he's seen the Son of Man. That means he caught it. He saw it. We saw it in Peter Acts 5. We saw it, Acts 5. We saw it in Acts 2. But then we found it also in one of their disciples. And of course, Philip also. He said the Spirit spoke to him. An angel spoke to him. He caught it. He learnt it. Now look at the precedence of scripture. I want you to go to Genesis. Look at Abraham. Abraham, we saw Abraham last week, have we? Was it last week before? The davar, remember? The word that God is in it. He speaks, okay, a living being, okay? Now, let's see Eliezer. Eliezer was his servant. Genesis 24. Of course, Abraham said, you're going to go and pick a wife for my son. And then look at what he said. Verse 12. He said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Use the word there, Yahweh Elohim. That's Moses' writing. Yahweh Elohim. He says, my master Adonai Abraham, you shall give me good speed. I love that word, good speed. The word there is Quara, Q-A-R-A-H. It means shed light on me. Revelation. He knew by praying he will see. He found that in Abraham. He knew. Though Abraham had already prayed for him, giving him to give an oath and all that, but he knew. He knew. So he caught it, what the same experience Abraham had. Now, I know some of us who are what people, we have a problem with these kind of statements and say, well, I
I declare that what is working in my spiritual father's life begins to say, no, that's human worship and all that. And it means stuff like that. It's fine. But truth is that there is something they are saying. That even though it must have been roughly communicated, not effectively, but you must see it. So here, he had seen Abraham do something. And here, Eliezer also did. Now look at, Abraham also takes his own son. Genesis 22. Isaac. When Isaac asked that question in verse 7, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? He said, the Lord will show. Now, that word provide is to show. Jireh is like providence. Now, in verse 14, it says called Jireh. It shall be seen. It shall be seen. Genesis 22, verse 14. And then the angel of God, in 11, called out to Abraham. In 15, called out to Abraham. So, which means that his son was equally learning. So by the time we got to Genesis 26, verse 2, the Lord appeared to him. The Lord appeared to him. Genesis 22, verse 2, 26, verse 2, and then verse 27. Okay, verse 24. The Lord appeared to him. So, until 22, we haven't heard it. But he had seen it happen to his father. Who's following what I'm saying here? Can you see it? Very good. Now, I was going to show you 25. Okay, Genesis 25. Verse 21. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, which means he prayed. And then the Lord showed them something. In 22 and 23. So something similar. Eliezer prayed, Isaac himself also prayed. So you have the Lord said, verse 23. Then Genesis 26, I think I've opened that already. Verse 24, the Lord appeared to him. So you have that consistency in, he caught something from his dad. And then he walked in revelations himself. And Genesis 49. Jacob. Verse 1. I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. He seemed to now have more facts in the last days. And he spoke and prophesied on all his kids and beyond. Why? Because, I skipped the text, let me just go back to it. Genesis 28, I skipped that. But one more. Genesis 27. Where his father laid hands on him. And he says in 28, the Lord give you the dew of heaven, fatness of the earth, plenty of corn. You know. And he laid hands on him. Now in Genesis 28, he himself, Jacob, He had the same a dream, 12 through to 15. He woke and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew not." That's Genesis 28. By Genesis 32, that encounter he had an angel, "I've seen the Lord face to face," and all that. So you see that progression, which means that in that association, there was more than daddy and mommy thing, daddy and son. There were things they saw and they also caught. Let's see Moses and Joshua. Exodus 17:9. You see Moses and Joshua. Verse 10, Joshua did as Moses said to him. Okay? So, let's now see something very important. Just one more. Exodus 24:13. His minister, Moses rose, and his minister Joshua went up to the Mount of God. They went together. Exodus 32, verse 17. They were both in that mount. So he was observing Moses. We can say that they were in meetings together, right? Is that clear? Abraham and Isaac, were they in meetings together? Talk to me. Isaac and Jacob. Jacob and his children. Jacob and Joseph, for example, then by Genesis 50, Joseph himself now prophesied. So you have Moses, again, in meetings regularly with Joshua. What about Samuel? Samuel was also with Eli. They were in meetings. 1 Samuel. Verse 11, the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. That was why when he heard the voice of God, he went to the man and the man told him what to do. That means he caught something, right? Very good. He caught something. I know he now became so effective. I mean, a guy that said, "I don't know who is speaking to me," now ordained two kings by the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and spoke, you know, in very precise terms. So which means that he caught something, then he became well more effective. 1 Samuel again, 10. Look at that same principle. What did he say, tell Saul the king? He said in verse 5, "Thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. You shall meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place to the psaltery, and the tablet and the high pipe and the harp before them, and they shall prophesy." Let's take verse 6 together. This is what we have been reading so far. I'll take it again. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned to another man." That's the principle we have been reading so far. With them. So that means you will catch something, right? You will catch something. So we should look beyond just being spectators. There are things to catch. Amen. Hallelujah. There are things to catch. Praise God. You know, there are some very practical things that we can also learn from. And we can learn from them practically. Which means that the things of the Spirit can be in atmospheres. In atmospheres. Hallelujah. Look at an instance. You know, we can... Let me use this rule. We can have like, and we have joy, right? Right? Who can trigger it for us? You? Now. No. look at the lesson here. That's the Holy Ghost. Now, hold on. Now, what if that's not our direction tonight. What if we're, you know, it flows with the same thing. Like, that means it was atmosphere. What if it's an atmosphere of visions? Amen. Which means that, you know, all you did was hear him. Right? So which means that if I stand here now, I say that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, that means that if I see something here, you can catch something to see there. Which means that a whole assembly, right, can have visions together. Amen. I've been seeing something since I came up. Someone right in front whose middle name is Joseph. Is it that one? You are the one. Now come, now it's not the name you use. Is it the name you use? No. It's not the name you use. It's the name you dropped. You are the one. Come. You dropped the name. Now, sorry, don't look at me. Okay, look at me. How do we do this now? Yeah, don't be a spectator and catch. Okay, pray in tongues, come. Amen. Now, exactly what I saw is what he said. The key word, now this is how it works. As I just knew, minister to somebody who had dropped a name. This is the sign. I didn't know anything about the next issue. So as I asked him, and then he said exactly what I told him, then the next information came. So many times you just have to first act in faith. Is that very clear? So I've done something to him now. He probably is going to check it. So you, which means that what did you did now when he, go ahead and come on, let me know. Okay. What did you did here now, that when he triggered it, I've triggered something now, right? Let's pray in tongues. Let's look like 5 minutes. Let's pray in tongues. That means there's something here. Anything you see on someone, particularly the leader of the ministry, the pastor, is a corporate flow. It's a corporate flow. When I see two siblings return to the faith, two siblings in the similar, in the single family, two siblings who had, you know, gone off. One used to be a very strong minister of the gospel and abandoned it totally. It's the same family, two siblings. Who am I talking to? Okay, put your hands down. Amen. Two siblings, this one single family, two siblings. Okay. Amen. So you catch something here. Amen. By that revelation, it's just like, oh, you've seen it. Which also means that if you, how many of you have your meetings tomorrow and you're preaching? Okay, which means you can minister that way. Okay? You've seen it, right? You minister that way. And you're going to be very precise. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is that clear? So let's sit down. We're still talking. So he took him there and he saw it. Go in the company. So which means that when we get to meetings like camp meeting, camp is going to be awesome this year. Amen. So when we get to a meeting like that, we will have that, you know, hilltop experience. You're able to pick things. So let's be more intelligent in the flow. So when you see pastor or anyone say, just say, it's my flow too. Amen. It's my flow. It's my flow. It's my. I step into that flow now. I step into that flow now. Oh, yep, 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 yep. It's your flow. It's your flow. I step into that flow. I step into that flow. Let me say something that I feel the Holy Ghost wants me to tell everyone. You see, train your speech the more. Train your speech. And guard your mind. Guard your mind from thoughts. Thoughts of evil. Thoughts of dishonor. Thoughts of the flesh. And you will have more revelations. Guard your mind. You have fed your mind with so much. And it has become like an hindrance. In that window, it's like every time you have a revelation, it's like you are not sure. You are not sure. You are not, because you have, you seemingly have like an opaque view, because your mind has been immersed in the world. So, you know, throw yourself more in the things of the Spirit and things will become clearer. Amen. Okay, so let's get back to that. So now we have Elijah and Elisha. That one is the clear one, right? Yeah. He washed his hands. Then he said, if you see me, you get it? Aha. In 2 Kings, he said, if you see me, let's just see it. 2 Kings. Chapter 2. Verse 10. If thou should see me. And look at that thing. That was the, of all the things that happened to Elijah, this was the high point. And Elisha saw it. It's not about seeing him die. Right? Is he saw it. Let's call it camp meeting, okay? Yes, believers convention, Holy Ghost meetings, as you see it. So you have to be there. So which means you have to be very sensitive. You're an usher, you're not just passing on, somewhere you're just carried away, you're just doing something, checking your phone, talking to somebody. You know, be very careful. That's why I'm very, very careful. When I go to the meeting, I say, by when we are done, we talk. I don't have time to be talking to you. What am I talking about? Anything we are going to talk about. Because some things are in the moment. Those of you who are pastors, you know what I'm saying. If somebody comes to you after the service, you won't minister that way again. Who knows that? You minister that way. You just, I can, like Brother Hagee would say, I can teach you, you know, just give you God's word generally. But there's something about being there. Now, I know some people have monetized this. They will say, well, make that call now. And they use it to collect money from people. But you see, it's a twisted truth. That be there. Just be there. So sometimes, it's at that moment, why didn't you just come? You know, I remember somebody came to me in one meeting. And that meeting I was supposed to minister to. So I gave the word of knowledge. And I said, interestingly, I told the pastor, I said, I think this person was supposed to have come for this service. And, okay, so. I said, well, the glory of God, the power of God is here. So let's just, when Peter's mother-in-law got healed, other people came and got healed. So I just met that people got healed. Then the person now came after and the pastor said, the lady was supposed to have come, but she went to go and check. The very person who we're going to minister to, she went to go and check at the hospital. That's the wrong step. If you are led, you would have gone to that hospital first. You will have come here first. So I said, this is the word that I had. She said, yes. Yes, I said, you are so supposed to say yes. I said, but why you say, pray for me now? I said, I'll pray for you normally. It's different. It's different. Now, Brother Hagin has a phrase like that. He said, the anointing lifted. I won't use that phrase. But I know what he's saying. Hallelujah. So it's good to be there. So when you see it. Now, look at Jesus. Do you notice that when Peter was going to, when they were going to replace Judas, look at the thing they said about disciples. You know, we're talking about discipleship. Huh? That's why I tell people that, look, thank God for people who, now, there are people that because of distance, they cannot come to where you are. God will have an exception for them. I know that. But people that they could have come, they don't come. I said, those ones are not those who are following me. Oh. Those following you, they will be there. They will be at that. All those, they won't selectively choose meetings. No, they won't. Acts 1. Look at what Peter said in verse 21. Who accompanied with us all the time with the Lord Jesus, went in and out among us. Now look at the first thing the person must have seen. Beginning at what? The very first remarkable thing in the ministry of Jesus was that a prophet, that was when he began. So he said, beginning at those battles. That is, those remarkable issues, he was there. Please follow what I'm saying here. Beginning at, you just showed up when the Pharisees were arguing. I said, this man knows the word. That's all you are there for. No. He said he was there at the baptism of John. Not just that he knows, but he was there. Now, notice in Mark 3:14, a key element of why Jesus chose the 12. Now, we can say, he called them to preach. No. That wasn't the first thing. Mark 3:14, and this is Peter's account. Let's read it together. Mark 3:14. Let's go. And he ordained 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. So the first thing is what? Be with him. Acts 4:13. They took knowledge of the fact that they had been with Jesus. Hope you are learning something. So, in John 20, when it says, as my Father has sent me, verse 21, so send I you. Then he breathed on, emphasis in the Greek, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Pay attention somewhere. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, what was the instruction he gave them? Luke 24, verse 49. Tarry in the city of where? Jerusalem. Stay in one place. Can you see it again? Stay in one place, right? I don't have a doubt that Peter ministered in that meeting. I don't have a doubt. Acts 1, Acts 2, Peter was the speaker. So it wasn't that they just got together and everybody didn't know what was going on. No! Peter stand up with the level. He was the last speaker in Acts 1. He was the first speaker in Acts 2. He was the first speaker in Acts 3. He was the first speaker in Acts 4. So which means that what happened in Acts 2 was that everybody flowed with Peter. Everybody did. So, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued. Now, this is someone who taught them for 40 days. So, he taught. There are things to be taught. There are things to catch. He now said, you shall receive lambano, which means to catch. You shall receive. Acts 1:8. That word is so common that you mustn't lose it. You'll be endued with power. Acts 2:49. Receiving the Holy Ghost. John 20:22. So there is a catching. After you are now taught, he now explained to them the Allos Paracletos. There is now what? A catching. And where do you catch? You catch in a place. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from high. So it is first taught, then it is caught. Sometimes it is caught, then it is taught. So in discipleship, it is taught, it is also caught. You shall receive. So in Acts 2, after he taught them, he says it's now time to catch it. Acts 2:38. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then that goes throughout the book of Acts. Acts 8:15, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Acts 9:17, Paul, that he might be filled with the Holy Ghost and receive his sight. Acts 10, verse 45. On the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did Peter explain it? God gave them like precious gifts. Acts 11:17. Acts 10:47. Which have received the Holy Ghost. Lambano. Received of the Holy Ghost. Acts 10:47. Acts 11:16-17. Acts 19:2. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Look at the sequence. So there's a teaching and there's a catching. Hallelujah. Are you there? So, same way, there's a teaching, there's a catching. So when you see somebody for God in the ministry, and he's not replicating the character of that ministry, he hasn't caught anything. And usually, I'll deal with that later, he might or she might need to deal with an honor issue or concentration. Honor is very key. It's very important. I tell people oftentimes that the greatest thing, the greatest asset for you in any ministry is your unity. Unity. And unity functions effectively where there's honor. Don't forget, I told you, Satan plays a long game, right? You'll be like, you're fighting for your right. You are fighting for what is there. You are just being logical here. You are just being logical here. Satan is not logical, he's destructive. But he will be forced logical with you. You are being logical here. You have this one. And you say this one. I will never forget something. We had a group of friends. And they used to, what pained me was that the people that later on, when we scattered though. In fact, in those days, we used to have two kinds of scattering. We used to call something We had something called scatter. Then we had yam pepper scatter. Don't let me describe what it is to. It's about to fall under the power. It's very naughty description. So, what happened to that meeting? It's just scatter, nothing much. No, that one, yam pepper scatter. In a very terrible way. So, we had yam pepper scatter. 2 years after, one of those who was against us, he now told me, he said, you guys were anointed. How was that, man? He said, the depth of teaching grace on you guys. He said, He said, when I heard your friend, I said, what is this? They never said that, though. They said that after we were finished. In the sense of our group was scattered. Satan plays the long game. You know, I say, and you guys were, you know. They never said that before they scattered you. They had scattered us. We had fought ourselves. Remember that day? I went to meet, I said, look! I didn't know that I was injected with an evil spirit. I said, this is you. I said, I don't want to have anything to do with you again. Then I said, I'm principled. I said, I don't give a damn about relationship. Principle first. I'm wiser. Relationship first. Who principle help? Relationship. In fact, my brother said 2 days ago, he said, the relationship, right? Okay, let's look at it. Why did God save us? His relationship. Right? Every principle, he broke it. Is that what you call grace? He broke every principle to save us. No, I'm a principle. In that relationship, you will be principles, but you are principle because of that relationship. Hallelujah. Just like marriage, there are things you won't take outside. You take in the house. In a normal relationship. I give an exception. Because I know some people. So, that's it. So I said to my friend, I said, I don't want to. Do you know the friend I'm talking about? He's the same friend that laid hands on me that I was talking about. Say, no. What do you mean? There's no bad. It's been a while. That's 23 years ago. Nobody can remember. I said, I don't care. As soon as they heard that for the first time we face each other, He just went out and took us one by one to the cleaners because we had separated. All the move of the Holy Ghost, the way we used to move the Holy Ghost, it was easy. I said, well, I don't want word of knowledge today. Let me do word of wisdom. Let me do it. You two go. I'm not joking, though. And he said, shall we deal with this one? I said, well, you did gift of healing. Let me do gift of healing today. It's amazing. Who will not hate people like that? Even you, right now, you're not hating us. Who will not hate you? So they will now walk. They'll just take one of you. They say, hey, you have a free mind, Abby? Yes. You go, yeah, Abby, I can think for myself. Yeah. Holy Ghost, the Lord. You will have been struggling. Hallelujah. But not here. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? Not here. Now, you're looking back. Virtually everything I was trying to fight, I would have just overlooked it. Do you understand? And do that in every supernatural relationship. When I look back today, I say, wow, I'll have done better. I've never said this like this publicly before. Talk about this meeting. Amen. I've never talked like this before. Because before that day, I spoke, bring me grammar, quoting scripture. I said, we dissolve it. We don't. Bang. Guys say, you guys were tight. I heard that the anointing on your life was uncommon. I said, so you need. He said, but you know, we just found out you guys were just arrogant. You felt you could talk to anybody. Yes. It's a spell. So this was your joy. You know. You know, that is the reason that what is making these people tick. They come up with stories that we're in a court. They say we're having this meeting in front of Quizzo, that we were doing sacrifice. It was only Ghost meeting. That somebody was doing chief priest. There was one meeting like that, but talks minister. It was our senior friend. He said, how can that be Spirit of God? Three of them, they were calling people's names. So I say, our boys here. Can you imagine? They just stood in front of a jaw, collected their walking stick, collected crutches. At what age? After they had destabilized us. We're now hearing our good stories. So we had good stories. Hallelujah. Hope you learned something from that. Okay, let's go. Numbers 11. So you have to see it, right? Numbers 11. I think we looked at Numbers 11 last week. Okay, now. So let's just keep some of those things now. Look at the key thing. He said, they will stand with you, verse 16. Verse 17, I will come down and talk with you there. Someone said there. Verse 17, I will take of the image upon you, I'll put it upon them, they shall bear the burden with the people with you. And look at it. Verse 24. They were around about the tabernacle. The Lord came down, took the spirit upon, and they began to prophesy. Look at the sequence. They came together. They saw it. So, who prophesied first? Moses. And then they saw it. And they now did the same thing. Same place. Now, another key principle. Eldad and Nadab, for whatever reasons, they were not there. They remained in the camp, and yet the Spirit rested upon them. They were of them that were written, but they didn't go out into the tabernacle and they prophesied. That is honor. You are not there, but there's honor. When you look at Brother Oaks now, and you see the Hagin grace. I'll use that word. I know I can be criticized for that word. I don't care really. You see that thing on him, and he never met Brother Hagin, not once. Remember Pastor Hagin said, probably said, there's nobody on earth who knows our father like him. His son. Why? He tried his best to go to America. One day I sat him down and said, "Mo, it's not the will of God." Are you the only one? Three or four refusals. The last one was in my house. I said, "Stop it." She said, "Go ahead, ahead, ahead." I said, "Enough! It's not the will of God." But you know, there was honor. I mean, there was honor. And that honor, wherever he was, he wanted to go. But wherever he was, we saw the thing on him. Are you there? So he said, "Stay in Jerusalem." That's honor. Luke 24:49. "Till you be endued." Did you notice that when Paul talked about Timothy's calling, he said in 1 Timothy 4:14, he says, "The gift that is in thee by the putting, by prophecy, and the laying on hands of the elders." Look at the people, elders. He didn't say your father, your family members. There's nothing in that one. They lay hands on you. God will be with you. God will prosper your ministry. That's good prayer. Look, let me tell you something. If a Muslim prays for me, I'll say amen. It's a good wish. And I desire anything anybody desires good for me. If another one shall say, "May God help you," I say amen. But when you see someone that has the thing, you will catch Neil. You will catch. You get it? You must know how to catch. So say hands were laid on you. Then he repeated it. For you to know that it's an emphasis, 2 Timothy 1. He said, "Stay up the gift is you, which was indeed by the laying on of my hands." Are you there? So we can learn it. I'll close here. We can learn it. I'll read one thing by Brother Hagin, and then I'll close here. Now, I put it on my Facebook, so I just want to read it. And this is helpful. I'll close here. Now, Brother Hagin said, "I remember in the days of the great healing revival from 1947 to 1958 here in America, there was just a wave of healing. A wave. It seemed like it was the easiest thing in the world to get people healed. In fact, some evangelists even said to me, 'You know, Brother Hagin, before this healing revival began, I never did pray for the sick. But during the healing revival, I began to lay hands on the sick. And I just experienced phenomenal success.' They didn't realize it. Laying hands on the sick was their calling, in the sense that God gives that charge to all believers. The Great Commission says, 'You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.' Mark 16:18. However, there was a powerful anointing of healing in those days. And when people tapped into that anointing by faith, many were healed. The same principle holds true in the natural. For example, if the wind blows in a certain direction, if you throw a piece of paper up in the air, the wind will carry it up and carry it along. It's the same way in the things of the spirit, in the spiritual realm. If you will just go with the Spirit of God, when He's moving in a certain direction, you will experience success too. We need to move with the Holy Ghost when He opens a door." Hallelujah. It's know how to catch and flow. And it's in that direction like that. You just flow. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm convinced that we're in particular days. You know, now somebody has asked me, "What happened to that healing revival? What happened?" Now, I'm not a good judge of everything, but one thing I noticed was there was a whole lot of strife. There's something we must all watch out for. Strife and offense. It looks like, I can't get involved. But it starts from the way you think. The moment us is not more important than you, there will be strife and offense. There's always, just look at it, well, the us is bigger than me, than the way I feel, you know. And so, when things are just flowing, you know, there's a way you can getting on it. Be in the right meetings. Be in the right place. I was going to share something else, but I'll share it on Sunday. Our next week's midweek service is going to be a Monday evening because of the Hope School of Ministry. So Monday evening, don't forget, we're going to take on something I didn't share tonight. But one thing I know is this, you know, and as I was preparing for this meeting today, I knew that particularly all of us who oversee people in small groups, you can have everyone flow the same way. Put your heart on it. and have a character of your meetings immediately. Immediately. I am convinced that one thing we are laying hands upon in 2021, precisely between now and the middle of the year, is seeing and knowing, discerning of spirits. It will get stronger towards that March, April, May, then about June. I see June into July. It will be like we'll pick up. Now, before then, there will still be the gifts of healings. There will be demonstration. I'm going to teach them that too. Being demonstration and all that, we heal the sick, would have people, you know, drop their crutches, the blind eyes be open. But within that June, July, into August, September, we'll now have a massive move of God in the power gifts. Massive. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't lay hands on the sick tomorrow. You should tonight. But I'm just showing you something is happening. I'm going to share a bit on Monday as well. It's like, and for me, I like to prepare. As I lay hands on the sick right now, I keep doing it, but I'll just wait on the Lord. I'll prepare for such times, you know, and you just see this season into like March. March is just next week. There'll be like that strong thing around you on knowing things, just knowing things. I'm telling you, even in the office, just be knowing things. You just say, why not do it tomorrow? The guy said, how are you? Just do it tomorrow. Why not call her now? Why did you say call her now? You just know it. You know, you just, even in natural things, you just have a knowing generally about things. And it will grow. One thing is this, allow it to grow. Allow it to grow. Don't even celebrate anything. Just allow it to grow and grow and grow and grow. June into July. It will now dovetail into an awesome flow. Like, it will be like a liquid in your hands for many of us. Flowing literally. That will enter the body of the sick. And that body includes your own. You literally, and as I'm speaking, some of you are feeling that way. You literally sense like electric waves all around you. Now, I'm not prophesying a revival, nothing close to it. But there's just waves and 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 waves. And we can sustain it for many years by faith and by love. By faith and by love. By faith and by love. In the middle of it, there will be offenses. Will come. Well, that person offended me. He shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have said that. We'll have those little bits of things coming around us. But you know what? We can win ahead of time. We can win ahead of time. You can say, well, for me, I won't have a single thought of offense in my mind. I know what's going to happen. As we go into 2021, into 22. You will find we'll become more stable in the word and in the spirit. In the word and in the spirit. And then, 2022 will be a season of might. 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 You know, might means to show power. Might. As we follow the order, might. Might, 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 might. And the very next time, you have things are stabilized. And all the things continue like that. We'll sustain it by faith and love. We'll sustain it by faith and love. Faith to keep acting on it. Love, we hold ourselves together and says, no one has an offense against the other. No one has bitterness. No one says any hurtful words. And you see it grow. You see it grow. You see it grow. There's something I'm seeing. I keep seeing it virtually every week now. You will see an outrush from white garment churches. You will see people teach scripture wearing white garments. You will see it. In fact, I perceive either this year or next year, it will be on TV. Hallelujah. See, God will go for every hungry heart. Don't miss Open School of Ministry. We're going to say some things that will help your ministry. Because some of us have boxed our ministry into a corner, but it won't be anymore. June, July. And then you just find it. Strong pull for the sick. For the sick. For the oppressed. For some things that you can't do now. You hear it and you say, but I couldn't pray for that person. Don't worry. There are seasons. I don't know how to teach this now. But there's a wave. At that period, and we're going to prepare for it as a church. Amen. There's a wave. As I'm saying it now, you know what's going to happen? Satan is going to go ahead and try to confuse you. He would try and destabilize something somewhere, say, but you know what? He has lost. Because we are going to walk in it. It's the supernatural harvest by the Spirit of God, the first fruit of things to come. Amen. We follow that direction. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll just lift your hands and just worship the Father. Come on. Sing in the Spirit.